And I ask you to call your attention this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter number 4. John's Gospel, chapter number 4, beginning in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptizeth not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria that is called Sychar, next to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away in the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that thou hast said truly. This woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Father, thank you this morning. We have the opportunity that we can come, and this morning, Lord, that we can study your word together, that you can speak to our hearts during this time, that you can give us that which we need from your precious word today. And Father, this morning as we look into your word, I pray that the Holy Spirit might take charge of the service, that he might walk amongst the aisles and the avenues of our lives, and dig into the deepest recesses of our heart, and show us the great need we all have of the Lord Jesus this morning. I pray today that we might lift him up and glorify him, that he might be the focal point of all that we say and do. And for everything that's done today, may he receive the honor and the glory. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen and amen. We find that this morning a new year, and we're into a new year, and you know, we usually make some resolutions in the new year. We're going to do this, or we're not going to do that. And we make a lot of resolutions, and we sometimes set goals. Many times businesses will take inventory and prepare their budgets and make decisions on what they're going to do in the coming year. And for most of us, sometimes things work out and sometimes they don't. But in our text this morning, we're going to meet a woman this morning. And this woman this morning was a woman of Samaria. A woman this morning who had a tough life. Sometimes when we read this story, we want to be and condemn her for the life that she was living. But as you read through the story, we have no idea this morning of the toughness and the hardship that she'd went through in her life. A woman this morning who I believe had at times had some tough times and some depressing times and some bad times in her life. a woman this morning who evidently, from what I read in the scripture today, had a bad reputation in the town in which she lived. A woman this morning who, I believe, was even growing weary of life. But there's a little phrase in the scripture this morning that we sometimes read. It's found several times in the Word of the Lord this morning, and that little phrase is, "but God." And we find here today that as we look at this woman in Samaria, that Jesus had other plans for her. The Bible says that he must needs go through Samaria. Now the Samaritans and the Jews did not like each other. As a matter of fact, I could probably say to you this morning that the Jews hated the Samaritans. It went back for many, many generations this morning. It went back for a long period of time, and the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. It's much like many people today have no dealings with certain people, and they go back generations into that dealings this morning. But the Bible says here with this Jewish Savior, this Jewish Messiah, and he must needs go through Samaria. Why did Jesus have to go through Samaria this morning? It wasn't because it was an easier route from Galilee to Judea. As a matter of fact, the other route was a lot easier to travel. It wasn't this morning because he didn't have a lot of things and activities going on into his life. It was very simple this morning. He needs to go through Samaria. Because here we find this morning was a woman who had an appointment and didn't even know it. She was about to walk in on the biggest and the greatest blessing of her life. Have you ever thought this morning that how strange it might seem that we stumble into blessings, but God had it all figured out all the time? Sometimes the blessings of God, it seems, come to us in such an unusual and strange circumstance. That the blessings of the Lord can come this morning under times that we weren't expecting God to bless us. Maybe we had grown weary. Maybe this morning we were having a tough time in life. Maybe everything was not going the way that we wanted it to go. But somehow, some way, God had it all figured out. And God had an appointment with us. And he met with us. And he brought a blessing into our life. I want you to think back this morning with me for just a moment in your own life. And you think this morning of the times that God has brought blessings into your life. And you might have thought, I just stumbled into this blessing. There's a passage of scripture over in the book of Ruth where it talks about when Ruth went to glean in the fields and her happenstance that she wound up in the field of Boaz. That wasn't this morning just good luck. It wasn't this morning just something that happened because it happened. But this morning it was something that happened because God had it all figured out. I think sometimes we need to realize that the Lord knows all about us. The Lord knows where we're going to be and what we're going to do. He knows what we need and when we need it this morning. And here was a lady that had a need in her life. A woman this morning that needed something. And Jesus was right there to provide that need at the time that she really needed it. I can't tell you all that was taking place in her life because the Bible doesn't tell us that. But when I read that Jesus must needs go through Samaria, it tells me this morning here that Jesus knew what was going to happen in Samaria. And here was a woman that had an appointment with God. And she didn't know it, but God had it all figured out this morning. You see, Jesus knew that this woman would be here. And he met her exactly where she was. He met her where she was. You know, the Lord meets us where we are. As a matter of fact, as I read through this scripture, and as you read it this morning, you find that the Bible says that in verse number 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. This is high noon in Samaria, probably about 100 degrees in the shade. And the Bible says that Jesus sat down and waited there on the well. He was waiting for her to come. Let's say something to you this morning. As you read that, you ought to sometime just stop in your own life. You ought to stop sometimes in your own daily routine and praise the Lord this morning for waiting on us. I'm glad this morning he waited on me. You see, he waits on people this morning. He waits this morning while we're still on the Broadway, while we're still on the destination toward destruction. He waits on people this morning who are drunks and people who are confused, people who are mean and immoral. He waits on people this morning and he meets them where they are. And he didn't give up. I'm glad this morning he didn't give up on me. I'm glad he didn't this morning give up on you. He simply waited patiently on us, even when we were sinful and hurtful and paganistic in our lifestyle this morning. You see, Jesus was there when this woman arrived at the well. You read, as I said, through the scripture, and I believe this morning this woman had a tough life. When the Bible says, and we will talk just a little bit about it in a moment, but when Jesus asked her about her husband, she said, I don't have a husband. And he said, well, you've had 5 husbands. And we usually think that's a sinful thing, but during that time, you could divorce a wife for simply burning the biscuits. Maybe this morning they had left her. Maybe her husbands had died. I don't know, but I know this morning this woman had evidently had a tough time in her life. She'd went through some difficult times. She'd went through some sinful times. And she certainly had a bad reputation evidently in Samaria. And no one wanted to have anything to do with her. But Jesus was still there for us. That tells us a lot this morning. You know, as you study through the scripture and you, as I said, you read that little phrase, but God. I thought about Paul on the road to Damascus, a man who was persecuting the church of the living God, a man who was imprisoning men, women, and boys and girls for nothing more than worshiping Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel, a man who would throw into prison all of those who professed salvation in Christ. A man on the road to success in the Jewish religion. Yet we find this proud Pharisee groveled about in the dust of the Damascus road. And Jesus said unto him, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You see, Jesus knew where Paul was. Jesus knew what Paul needed. And he knew where to get him at. He got him on the road to Damascus. You know, the Lord knows exactly where to get us at, don't he? He found this woman at the well of Sinar. He found Paul on the road to Damascus. Peter this morning was, of course, the big fisherman. Sometimes we call him the big mouthed fisherman because he was always mouthing off. And he had told Jesus on the night before the crucifixion, everybody else may desert you, but not me, bub. I'll be there with you. I got you back. I don't care if they kill me. I'm there with you. And yet he stood outside by the fire and cursed and said he didn't even know who he was. denied his Lord three times, decided that he'd give up on being an apostle and a preacher, and went back to fishing. But in John chapter number 21, we find that Jesus knew exactly where Peter was and what he needed, and he brought him to the shore and said, come and dine. The Lord knows where we're at and what we need this morning. He knows exactly what to do for us this morning. And he doesn't give up on us this morning. He didn't give up on this woman at the well. He didn't give up on Paul. And he didn't give up on Peter. And may I say to you this morning, he didn't give up on me, and he'll never give up on you. This woman had an appointment, and she didn't even know it. She needed satisfaction but couldn't find it. The Rolling Stones, a rock group from many years ago, who are certainly not my favorite people, but they had a song that the title of it was Can't Get No Satisfaction. And I think if I were to put a sign up today over the lives of most people, it would simply be, can't get no satisfaction. You see, people are seeking to be satisfied. They're seeking satisfaction this morning. And they're trying things. I live in a world of materialism this morning. It amazes me how materialistic we are in our society today. We have toys, and we find that I get amazed watching the toy commercials on television and all the things that they're going through, and how that they have this toy and they're enticing children that they need this toy so that they can be satisfied in their life. And we're trying things this morning in every way. People try toys and they try to build bigger and better houses. We try to buy more vehicles and take more trips. And we do all of these things. And I see people running to and fro, as Daniel says. And we need more education. We need more of this and we need more of that. And we're never satisfied. As I've said to you before, I'm not opposed to education, but you can fully fund the education fund in Mississippi, and the people will never be satisfied. We're never satisfied. We're always seeking something else. People try affairs. They try careers. They try to make more money and gain more power. They want to change spouses. Amazes me. And it's just a continual thing, and they're never satisfied. Never satisfied. We're never satisfied. That could be wrote over the lives of most people this morning. That could be this morning the caption on their headstone. They died unsatisfied. They were still searching the day they died. I thought about several years ago, I can't remember how many years ago now it was, but there was a cartoon that came out in the paper around Christmas time. And it had a Mississippi State fan sitting on Santa Claus's lap saying, all I want for Christmas is one of them 10-win coaches. We got a 10-win coach, now they want to fire him because he didn't win 11. We're never satisfied, are we? We're always wanting something else. I watched one of the football games the other night, and they said, how long are you going to enjoy this victory? He said, a few minutes. We got to prepare for the next game. We're not satisfied. We're never satisfied. Paul said in the
book of Philippians, he said, I've learned one thing in life. That the thing that I've learned to do is whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Therewith to be content. I got a couple of cats. And I feed them. I can walk out there and put that food in the bowl and they'll eat for a little while and they just go over and they just stretch out. They may be laying upside down, hanging this away. It's amazing to watch a cat sleep to me. They're just content. Oh, they're waiting on me to bring the food the next morning. Content. Content. Satisfied. I even find preachers are not content. They want to go from church to church to church. I heard a Methodist preacher say many years ago that he said, I got the best charge in the state. Another fellow said, you say that about every charge you get. He said, well, that's where the Lord wants me. It's the best charge in the state for me. I'm content with where the Lord sends me. And see what Jesus says to this woman, I know you've not been satisfied in your life. I know things have not always went like you wanted them to go. Things are sometimes tough. But he said, I can give you something that'll satisfy you. Jesus said, satisfaction guaranteed. You drink of the water that I give you, you'll be satisfied. Jesus said, I can curb your appetite. I can cure your thirst. You know, he said, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. He said in verse 14 that, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Somebody said, how can that work? What Jesus gives you never goes away. It's there for an eternity, and it just stays there. See, Jesus said, hey, you've got a void. You need something satisfied in your life. And he says to this Samaritan woman, hey, I can give you a drink of water that'll satisfy you forever. I can bring you satisfaction. You know what Jesus is saying to all of us today, and he's saying to all of humanity, I know you're not satisfied, but let me give you something that'll satisfy you forever. Let me give you something that if you'll drink, you won't ever have to thirst again. Well, thirst is a driving force, isn't it? I think of how thirsty people can get. When you have diabetes, one of the marks sometimes is extreme thirst. It's hard to explain. You'll be full up to here, but you're still craving something to drink. People are full up to here, still craving a drink. Jesus said, hey, let me give you something that'll satisfy that. I can satisfy you. This woman was seeking satisfaction, but she didn't find it till Jesus came along. This woman needed a new start in life, and she got it. She needed to be set free this morning and given a new start. Jesus gave her a new start. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, go call the husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. And the woman said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." And then she begins to ask him questions about religion. But she said Jesus knew religion wasn't going to help her. Verse number 25, "The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." I'm he. And when those words were spoken, the Bible says, verse 28, "Then the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man." This morning you see Jesus give her a new start in life. She found the Messiah. She found the Christ. She found the Savior. That's the way you get a new start in life. That's the way things take place this morning. You can be a new person through Christ. See, it's got a lot less to do with you, because all it has to do with him. She left her water pot. She didn't need it anymore. You see, we have to leave behind our troubles and our problems and our phobias and our fears and our anxieties. We have to leave all of that behind. And then we come see a man who can. Let me tell you about a man who can this morning. A man who can satisfy and give you a new start in life. And his name's called Jesus. A man this morning who reaches way down to pull us up. He comes to where we are. You see, this woman couldn't go to where Jesus was, but he could come to where she was. I couldn't go to where Jesus, but he came to me. Hallelujah this morning. I know a man who can. And this man was Jesus. He gave this woman a satisfaction and a new start in life. That's what he wants to do for all people today. What he wants to do for me and you in the new year. He gives us a new start. Maybe we've all made bad decisions and we've had a tough time last year. Let's say, hey, Jesus, give us a new start in the year to come. A new start. Be satisfied and let Jesus satisfy you this morning. All right, as we stand together, Brother Josh, if you'd come. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time we're together. I ask you to take this very brief and very simple message, to apply it to our hearts and our lives, and use it this morning for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. His precious holy name I pray. Amen.